Time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? In the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 19, we're going to begin reading with the first verse of that chapter. So please open your Bibles that you can read along with me today. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and begin to read with me today in Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And he said, Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and he and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out of the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the roof of under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that had mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city, for the which thou hast spoken. Hast thou haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. And then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Let's begin with prayer after we've read God's word today. Father, I thank and praise you for today. I thank you that we can come and enjoy this time together. I ask that you will guide and lead us and show us your way and will. Father, it's so important that we know exactly what we're to be doing and where we're to be. The only way we can do that is to have your wisdom. The only way we can have your knowledge and wisdom is to spend time with you in your word, and we're doing that today. And please, Lord, as we look at this story with Lot, what's going on here, we're going to go back and review just a little bit with Abraham and what went on prior to that in the 18th chapter. And then we'll begin this study. But we want your leadership and direction and strength, Lord, please. Guide and lead us now, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Glad that you've joined us today. It's wonderful to come together and study God's Word. You remember what went on last time we were together? You know, Abraham kind of bargained with the Lord. It started out with the three, and the reason that I wanted to go back as far as we're going to go back today, and even earlier than the last time we were together, because I want you to see when Abraham, when the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, clear back in the first verse of chapter 18, he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground and says, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened to his tent and to Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they did eat. Now, remember that story, and then we come beyond that, and when I say a story, you think of maybe something that's not true. This is definitely true. This took place. It's in the Word of God, but it is a beautiful message, a beautiful story for us. And then we come over into the 18th chapter there, why we have the Lord saying to the angels, you know, and should we keep this from Abraham? And so then the Lord stays with Abraham, and the two angels head on to into Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, the two angels that we started with here in the 19th chapter are those same two angels that left Abraham and the Lord at Abraham's door. The two angels proceeded on down into Sodom to meet Lot. Well, if you remember here, we have this bargaining, and this bargaining begins with 50 and then on down through as we end up at the end of the bargaining session, so to speak, with Abraham to the Lord, that he says, "Preadventure, if there be 10 shall be found." That's in verse 32. And he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." And then the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. So we find that if 10 righteous people be found in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities, just 10, they would not have come under the destruction. Well, we have just read in the 19th chapter that destruction come. There was the destruction of this land. Well, as we look now, and keep in mind, the reason I wanted to go quickly through that story is because I wanted to bring you back up to speed with what was going on. So, first of all, we have the appearance of the Lord and the two angels with Abraham and a wonderful time of fellowship. He comes to the tent, says, "Sarah, please quickly fix this." And then he runs to the herd and grabs this the best calf in the lot and brings him out and has him prepared. And then he stands before them. And when he inquires for them to come in, notice that they came in quickly, and it was just a wonderful fellowship there. Altogether different than what we have in the 19th chapter. And let's begin now, once again. It came to pass there came two angels, the same two that left Abraham and the Lord at Abraham's door. They had just had a wonderful feast there, and then they went on about the business that they had come to do. While the Lord was sharing with Abraham what was going to happen, and Abraham was bargaining back and forth with the Lord, we find that the angels come to Sodom and Gomorrah and arrive there. And so, and there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. Now that in itself tells us that Lot is a man of power, of position. He would be a city council member, or something like that. And so it wasn't that Lot just lived in this wicked city. He participated in the wickedness of this city. He was a part of it. When you find him at the gate of Sodom, that's the place that these council members would be to judge and to do things of that sort. And so here we found Lot. Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. Now, we find that this is, in this part, much the same. And so the appearance of these two angels and the appearance of the pre-incarnate Christ, the Lord and the two angels, to Abraham in both cases. And look to see here in verse 2 of chapter 18. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground. That's in the second verse of chapter 18. Now, in the first verse of chapter 19, we find Lot doing the same thing. Seeing them, he rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." Now, it's a little bit different here, isn't it? Because what happened when Abraham gave the invitation? When Abraham gave the invitation, they immediately come, sat down, and awaited for the meal to be prepared. Wonderful fellowship between Abraham and the Lord and the two angels that were with the Lord. It's just wonderful. Now, to begin with, I want you to know that the angels are not someone that is, you know, you hear so often that, oh, you know, that's my guardian angel. if you have a guardian angel, someone that has helped you or protect you, there is definitely, very definitely angels. But they are not at your beckoning call. When you need help, you do not call upon the Lord's angels and the Lord's army to help you. You call upon the Lord. And if he would choose to send an angel to protect you or care for you in some manner, that's just fine, because that's the Lord's doing, not yours. You do not have a guardian angel as such. You have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you know him as your Savior. Have you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved? If you are, if you have been saved, if you come by faith and faith alone to Jesus Christ, then is when you can call upon the Lord, and just maybe he will send an angel to protect you. I don't know, but that's his call, not ours. We have no authority. There is nothing in the Word of God that tells us that we have an angel or certain angels to protect us and to guide us and to do things of that sort. That's the Lord's doing, and he does it however he sees fit. In this case, he brought two angels with him to carry out the responsibility of getting Lot and his family out of Sodom. It was nothing to do with Lot having these two angels were his. Not at all. They were the Lord's messengers. They were carrying out a message that the Lord had, and that's all. So you need to see that to begin with. And here came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. Now, at this point in time, this is about the end of any comparison between Abraham and Lot. Number one, the position. Abraham was at his tent door, and the three felt very welcome to come in. But when we get to Lot's home, and when we find that he meets them at the gate, and again, he is a man of position in this city, and so undoubtedly enough people liked him. He was well enough liked in the community to get elected, to get placed into that position. What does that tell you about Lot? Lot, too, even though he was called righteous, is a very wicked man. How can you be righteous and wicked? Because you become righteous when you come by faith to Jesus Christ and trust in that precious blood. When you do that, you have righteousness. Now, we still have the old flesh, and here old Lot just stayed right in the world. He never separated himself like Abraham. He set right in the world. Lot should have never come with Abraham. Abraham should have left him back at Ur of Chaldees. He said, you leave your family, you leave your possessions, and you go. All he was supposed to take was Sarai, his wife, and that was it. And instead of that, why, he rose up and took his father and took his nephew and took a lot of his goods and things like that. And that was a problem, a very serious problem from day one. Well, here we have it. Lot's down there among them. He just looking into the world. You know, this isn't the first time that Lot has had trouble in Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember the cities of the valley as they were taken control by Chedorlaomer, and Abraham had to arm himself and go up after him and bring him back. You remember that? And so, see, Lot's never learned. Have you ever learned that you need to seek the Lord's will? And you need to serve the Lord and follow after the Lord. You need to come to the Lord for salvation and begin this wonderful walk. Lot never learned that. Lot came by faith. His uncle witnessed to him, and he was saved. But that was it. He lived a most miserable life. He had nothing. When Lot died, and what he had to show the Lord for his service was nothing. And I'm afraid there's an awful lot of people today that's the same way. They have trusted by faith in the Lord Jesus, but they serve this world so much that they have no time to serve the Lord, to honor the Lord, and bring honor and glory unto the Lord. Lot was one of those that lacked the time, lacked the drive, and did not serve the Lord. Well, here we have it in verse 2. He said, behold now my Lord's turn in. Well, that's exactly the same thing that Abraham said. You know, come in, I pray you, into your servant's house. Tarry here all night. Wash your feet and then rise up early and go on your way. Now, there's a problem here. Number one, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah is so wicked. I believe without a question that Lot knew that these were servants of God. I believe that he knew that they were righteous beings and looked like men. And here they come. You know, an angel can take on many different forms as the Lord chooses. And here they come. But Lot knew. You know, Abraham, he had the Lord's presence with him. Abraham knew immediately. Well, so did Lot. Lot knew that these were men of God. And whatever their purpose was, he did not want them out in the street. It wasn't that he was so excited to see them come in and I want to feed you, I want to care for you. It wasn't that at all. Please get out of the street, because this is a wicked, wicked town. Well, if it's a wicked, wicked town, then what in the world is Lot doing there? Well, he was there. And he was not only there, he was in power. He was in a place of position. And so you see, there was many things wrong with Lot's life, and it just gets worse. We have here that he desires that they come in, and please, he just pleads with them, please get out of the street. Oh, these, you know, he didn't say it. He had the appearance that, please, I want you to come, and I want to take care of you, and I want for you to stay tonight, and I want you to come right in. It was already evening. I want you to come right in right now. I'll feed you supper, you sleep, and then I'll get you out real early in the morning before anybody gets up. That's what we're going to do. And so that was the plan. But what happened was they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Oh, Lot didn't like that idea, because he knew that they would see very, very quickly. Plus, it wasn't safe. And they would see very quickly the wickedness of this city. He pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Okay, so he got them to come into the house. Okay, I'm safe now because I'm going to feed them, they'll eat, and I'll get them up early in the morning, and they'll get out before they'll really see the wickedness of this city. Because you see, Lot didn't believe that he nor the people of his cities there, Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the valley, would ever be judged for their wickedness. Boy, doesn't that sound like the world today? We have so much going on, we never think that we're going to be judged for the wickedness of this nation and this land. You know, I don't know how you think that we can sit here and murder baby after baby after baby and never be judged for it. I don't know how you can expect that. I don't know how you can expect that if we ever turn our, and many want to, they want to turn their face against Israel. If we ever do that, judgment will come. And so don't think for a minute that the judging hand of God will not land upon this nation, because there isn't much godliness left in this land. Would we have someone in a far country bargaining with the Lord as Abraham did? If there be 50 or 40 or 30 or 20 or 10 righteous souls, would you spare it? And what did the Lord say? Yes, I will spare the land if there be 10 souls in that land. And there was not 10 souls that were saved. Now, you look at this land today. We have an awful lot of folks that are righteous, that are religious, but we have very few that are righteous. And the judgment hand of God can come upon this land any day because of its wickedness. You need to understand that. You need to see that. And many did not believe that was a judgment that came at 9/11. It was an horrible enemy come against us, and that's true. But did we accept that as the judgment for the wickedness that we have done, and we need to set our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, get our heart and our lives and this country in order and back in serving God and praising and honoring God. No, it didn't do that. It made a lot of people religious all of a sudden, but it didn't make them righteous because they did not come by faith to Jesus Christ. Look at Lot. Lot here's amongst them all, and he got them into to the place, and he pressed upon them greatly in verse 3, and they turned into him and entered into the house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat it. Another reason why I wanted you to take a quick look back in the other chapter. What did Abraham do? Abraham ran into his tent, and he said, Sarah, please fix quickly this meal for us. I'm going to go get a calf that we can slaughter and so we can have the good meat. Please that you would hurry. And she prepared it. You can see that the whole household is turned upside down here. Where is Lot's wife? He prepared the meal. He pressed upon them greatly, and they turned into him. They entered into his house, and he made a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Where is the missus to help? Where is the partner that's to be the complete here? She's not there. If she's present, and I believe later on in the scripture here, she's there. Is she just sitting on the couch and, you know, this is Lot's friends and she is as wicked as the city. She's as wicked as Lot is. She's as wicked as Lot's daughters. She's as wicked as Lot's son-in-laws and Lot's sons. All these people, because of the environment around her, is so wicked. And so we find that the household is a mess. It's not in order at all. And so, but after they lay down, they've had the meal now. They've laid down. So far, everything's on a roll here. Lot's going to be okay. He's got them into the house. He's fed them, even though that Mrs. Lot didn't help at all. But he took care of it. He prepared everything, and he doesn't really care. And so now he's got them into the house. They're safe. They're fed. And now they go to lay down for the evening. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out to us, that we may know them. Do you understand the wickedness of that statement? Bring them here, that we may know them. Sexually, know them. The men of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah had lost all sense of natural affection. A man for a woman or a woman for a man. It was man for man, woman for woman. It was so wicked. Now, what's that remind you of what we hear so often today in this land? We are choosing the ways of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a wicked, wicked ways. And these men came. There was two new men in the city, and we want them. And we want them now. And was it just the old men, or was it just the young men because they were perverted? No, it was the old and young men that come. Bring them out. We want them. Do you understand now why Lot hurried them into his house and was going to hurry him back out the next morning? Yes, because he knew that wicked city. What in the world was Lot doing there? Why was he a part of that? Well, we do the same thing today. We run around and we associate ourselves with folks of this land and these cities and places and communities that have nothing to do with God. They're religious maybe in many kinds, but they are not born-again believers. And their thoughts and their ways are wicked, and yet we follow them. We spend time with them, and not spending time to win them to the Lord Jesus, spending time because that's what we too like to do. Look how wicked Lot was. You know, it's a sad day when we see the condition of this land. Now, we're out of time already. And it's a sad statement that Lot makes next, but I'm going to let you ponder on it. And when he was out there, he said, please, please, not these two men. I've got two virgin daughters, two daughters that's never known a man. I will give them to you, and you do whatever you want to do with them. Look how wicked Lot is. Look how that's perverted his mind, even though he is born again. Please, let's separate ourselves from the world so we don't become like Lot. Now, we're going to start here next time we come together. But as always, I want to know, what are you going to do about Jesus?